say, look, I'm doing fine, I'm doing fine, I don't need any more, I only need enough to get by, you will only ever have enough to get by. And some people, of course, nobody on this course, just by the way, I know nobody on this course would ever justify their current position with the sentence, with the following sentences, which I believe are the plague. Nobody on this course though, of course. They may even say things like, Ryan, you don't understand. The new patients here are poor quality. You don't understand, Ryan. Or, you don't understand, the new patients here are tie kickers. Or time wasters. Or people here just don't have money. Let me just address that very, very quickly. You know, I've done many sales trainings. I've been involved in many sales environments. I actually said the other day that I think I've had a hand in probably $50 million worth of sales in some way, shape, or form over the last 10 years. You know, that's either been involved in organizations or my business combined with, you know, sales from stage and organizations I've spoken with, etc. Easily over $50 million. A direct hand in that, by the way. And what I've learned from the type of sale that we're involved in, it's kind of nirvana for most industries, which is a face-to-face sales appointment. Do you know that in most sales environments, to get a lead face-to-face sitting in front of you is the ultimate goal? And we just take it for granted that, you know, people show their commitment two ways, either with time or money, their time or their wallets. Think about how blessed we are. We have people come to us. They drive in the car to us, busy lives, and they sit with us for an hour or 30 minutes at a time, and they don't know us from Adam most of the time. Hopefully we can change that. And they don't even know what they're buying, which is an interesting thing. I mean, I spoke on the webinar the other night. I truly believe that every single person on this, the very next book that every single person on this call should read is a book called Selling the Invisible. Selling the Invisible by Harry Beckwith. Selling the Invisible by Harry Beckwith. And that's why this course is so important, is because when you sell a service, selling the visible, Harry talks about selling a service, it's completely different from selling a product. You see, when you sell a product, you've got new car smell. If you're selling a car, you can show them features and you can get them in the car and they can feel it and that's a different type of sale altogether, right? That's like a test, and that's why they call it a test drive. It's part of the process to live the experience and feel it. It's the same as when you go view a house and you go inside the house and you live and you feel it and you can see it and you can experience it. But now when you're selling a service, it's one of the only things on the planet. If you go to a hairdresser, you're paying for the thing, or you're committing to pay for the thing prior to knowing what you're even going to get. Meaning you don't even know what the end product's going to be and you are going to pay for the thing. So your communication around the thing needs to be spot on. Or you even, no one on this call though, have said sentences or heard someone say sentences like, well, you see, I'm ethical, so I don't sell. Or it doesn't feel right to sell. Let me address that one quickly. Nothing ever feels right the first time you do it. Nothing ever feels normal the first time you do it. The first time you kissed somebody, it freaking felt weird. Okay? It felt freaking weird. And then you did it some more. And you practiced. And then guess what? You kind of liked it. Everything feels weird the first time. Like one of my pet hates is ask someone wants growth, and then I'll say, let me give an example. They haven't got any more levers to pull. This growing a practice thing is pretty basic. There's only a few levers to pull. Like see more people, raise your prices, get more new patients to the front door. If you're good at all those things, then raise your prices again. Either work on blockages in the practice or capacity blockages. But one of the things, if you want to see more people, you have to work on capacity blocks. If you don't want to see more people, then raise your prices. But you can't choose. If someone says, I want to grow, Ryan, and I say, okay, great, you don't want to see more people, but you want to have more income, then you have to raise your prices aggressively. And I don't want to do that. Okay, well, we're stuck then. Or I want to see more people, but I don't want to
decrease my appointment times, or I don't want to adjust across. Well, we're stuck then. So sometimes if we want growth, we don't have a choice but to pull a lever on certain things. You have to choose what that lever is. But often I'll tell someone to, for instance, pull a lever on seeing more than one person at a time. That's the only place they have to go. Besides, again, raise their prices exorbitantly, which they don't want to do, which I recommend, by the way. But they'll often say to me, I tried it for one shift and I didn't like it. Hey, listen, like almost nothing you try for one shift is going to feel okay, right? It's always going to take time. And I actually, here's another one here. No, Ryan, I don't like to sell, or I don't like care plans, or I don't like to book ahead of time. It's because I actually care about my patients. Like, come on. Or I only need enough to get by. Listen, if you say that sentence enough, you'll only ever have enough to get by. If you say, look, I'm doing fine, I don't need any more, I only need enough to get by, you will only ever have enough to get by. Buckminster Fuller said, only and always in the nick of time. You'll always be one of those people. I only have enough income, I only have money, I have enough abundance or time, only and always in the nick of time. And that is, the word survive is erroneous, meaning that you can better survive and worse survive. If you look at the definition of it, it's actually better or worse survive. We define it in our heads as like just surviving, just getting by. But the word to survive means actually, if you look at the Latin origins of it, is to have excess of, more finances in the bank, more time, more. So you have excess of that thing. That's what we want for you guys. So some of you might have known on this course though, but I'm sure some of you might have heard some of those things before.